Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. We're beginning another Day of Fire on the Earth, a program dedicated to the promotion of Catholic mission and evangelization. We'll continue today to talk about the central theme I've been reflecting on over the last week and a half, which is really the central proclamation of the church since the time of the apostles, beginning with Peter on the day of Pentecost, what the church describes as the kerygma, the core message that the church brings the world throughout time in this time of mercy between the two comings of our Lord Jesus Christ. It's summarized simply in this: Jesus Christ is Lord. Some time ago, I was reading a reflection on this by Cardinal Sunens, one of the four presidents of the Second Vatican Council. And he talked about how fundamental Peter's preaching is, laying the whole foundation of trying to understand what Christian identity really is. He described it this way. He said, Peter's definition provides us with the first definition of Christian identity, the unique quality inherent in being a Christian. What is the first thing we must do? Peter answers. His answer is straightforward. It's quite simple. He said, repent, and each of you will be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and then you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. He goes on to say, these are the elements: conversion, baptism, personal surrender to Christ, receiving the Holy Spirit. All of Christianity is contained in these words. So, he puts his finger on it. So conversion is that receiving the proclamation, the declaration, declaring the truth about who Jesus is and why he came, that he's God's son. He died on a cross. He shed his blood. For what reason did he do this? He shed his blood to break the power of sin and death over the human heart, to cleanse us of all sin. And in the preaching of the church doesn't go forward condemning people. The church goes forward in proclaiming under the anointing of the Holy Spirit the truth of God's diagnosis of the human condition. For example, Ephesians chapter 2, it begins with that famous line from St. Paul. He said, and you he made alive when you were dead through your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. Among these we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, following the desires of body and mind. And so we were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. So in just a few short sentences, St. Paul describes what you could call the Christian anthropology, the Christian understanding of the human condition. He touches there on the world, the flesh, and the devil. He talks about each human being, first of all, being brought from death to life by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, because they were first separated from God and they were enslaved. Enslaved, he said, what? To the course of this world. That's the fallen dimension of life. I mean, we've talked about it many times on the program. It's not hard to see. It's not hard to feel in our own lives how often we do things that we don't even want to do, that we know are going to harm us in some way. We see the situation of broken families and pain and sickness and death. We see the disordered condition of the politics of the world. And so we know that there's a dimension of our life that's fallen, and no matter how hard we try, no matter how much money we spend, we can't seem to solve the problem. It always, something new always emerges, new temptations, new dictators, whatever it is, we know and we can experience the fallen dimension of the world, and it can't be fixed by our own resources. So we've been seduced into that world. We've been, as one spiritual writer talks about, that the flesh within us, the fallen dimension within each and every one of us, connives with the temptations of the world, that we're seduced by it because there's something in us that doesn't want to yield to God, something in us that wants to say, my will be done, but not God's will be done. I want to pursue my own pleasure, my own happiness, according to my own design. So those powers are at work, the world, the flesh, and the devil. And St. Paul says, because of this, we were all dead in our sins. We were separated from God. In fact, the phrase he uses here is that we were by nature children of wrath. What does that mean? That God's in heaven, you know, stomping around and he's angry at everybody? No. God's holiness, God's justice, God's righteousness we experience as wrath when we turn against it. Because if we sin against God's mercy, if we sin against God's holiness, if we say no to God, we're going to experience the consequences of that reality. And the consequences, we experience that as wrath. And God gives us freedom. God gives us freedom to accept him or reject him. In each of those decisions, there's the initial decision, but there's everything that comes with that decision. It may seem in the moment to say no to God looks like freedom, looks like more radical autonomy, and I can do whatever I want to do. I don't have to be bound by commandments. I don't have to be bound by expectations or the thought even of facing God for the decisions that I've made in my life. But the reality is eventually we're going to come face to face with that truth and that fact. And so Cardinal Sunens is mentioning here, that message of the truth about the human condition and the offer of salvation through the person of Jesus Christ, God's love made incarnate, made manifest, God comes in search of us to bring us literally out of this condition. So the church is very specific in her mission. When she goes forward to evangelize, you know, there's a lot of talk in the church about the new evangelization, about the church's fundamental mission and laying hold of it. This is the centerpiece of it. This is the beginning of it, the foundation of it. What the church goes forward to is not first to fix the world. It's not going forth simply to make people comfortable or to share a philosophy of life with them that they might have an option to change. That's one philosophy among many. But she goes forward with a specific message. The human race is dead in sin. The human race, each person, each individual, is separated from God and stands in need of salvation. The human heart resists this. The instinct is to say, there's nothing wrong with me. I don't need any help. I'm not a sinner like so-and-so. But this is the reality. That message is at the forefront of the church's preaching. This is love. When we say that God loves us, when we go forward to tell people that God is love and he wants to extend his love to each and every person, that love is extended first in Jesus opening our hearts to the truth and our minds to the truth about who we are and who God is. If evangelization doesn't include this message, which is a declaration of who Jesus is and why he came and now who he is, that as St. Peter said, he's the Christ, he's the one anointed by the Father with the Holy Spirit, and he's Lord, that all power and authority belong to him in heaven and on earth. This is who he is now. He's reigning at the right hand of God, and from that place of absolute total power flows the love and mercy that's in his heart to the whole world to say, come, receive forgiveness of your sins. Take off the mask, stop the pretense, stop hiding, let go of your anger, let go of your rage, let go of your pride, let go of your sin, and come and receive this love that is God's love. And saying yes to that invitation, which implies receiving the diagnosis as personal to you, that yes, you agree that you stand in need of God's forgiveness, and you turn to Jesus and you ask forgiveness. And conversion means repentance, means change of our life in the direction that Christ is leading us. And that doorway is, the first is this faith, is this belief in the message of Christ, in his life, and entrusting ourselves radically to him and accepting it. Friends, we all carry a weight of sin, which actually in the readings this week at Mass, there's readings from Hebrews that the writer of Hebrews tells us, you know, to throw off the weight of sin that clings so close, that weighs us down. We've all sinned. We know it in our conscience, whether we try to hide ourselves from it or not. Give Jesus. Jesus comes to lift that weight. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The weight of a fallen world, the weight of the temptations of Satan and his dominion, and most of all, the weight of sin that's upon us, we can give it to Jesus and he'll take it away. And so it begins with saying yes to him and giving him our sin. And then as the cardinal reminds us, the church is very clear what needs to happen. So as the heart turns, as a human being turns and says yes to that message, we know the person is saying yes to a person, not just a philosophy, not just a theological framework, but literally to a person who's extending his hand to say, come with me now. I'm going to take you into the waters of baptism. I'm going to unite you to my cross. Friends, because the cross of Jesus is the only antidote. It's the medicine for the human race. It's like a big syringe. I think it was Dr. Peter Kreeft described that. Jesus wants to infuse us with his life, but first he must cleanse us with his blood. And we must agree with Jesus so he can crucify the sin in us, because it has to die, right? It has to be taken away from us. We have to be separated from it. And so he puts us to death in baptism, St. Paul tells us, so that in that context of taking away our sin, he wants to make us a new creation by uniting us to his new creation. What is it? It's God's life in him, the divine life that's in Jesus that passed from death to life. And it's a life that death no longer can hold down. Peter preached this very homily we've been discussing the last few days, that he said death could not hold him down. Why? First of all, because there was no sin in Jesus. Secondly, there was a power at work in him. The divine life of God was present, and it's bigger than death. And he swallowed up death in victory. He made a public show, a mockery of Satan in his attempt to destroy and condemn the human race. And Jesus freely gives us a share in his life. That's what it means to be born again. To be born again is to have our sins taken away and to have Jesus himself do that, and Jesus to give us a share in his life. So we now begin to share God's life. The Christ life is in us. That's what it means to be Christian, to be christened with this grace and presence of the Holy Spirit. We're plunged into the life of Jesus Christ himself. And we come out of that water, out of that baptism, literally a new creation. Something new, something radically has changed. And friends, it's important to know, it hasn't changed because simply of my own willing. It hasn't changed because I accept a kind of philosophy of life. It's happened, the change has happened, because I'm united to the person who can produce that change, and that's Jesus. Jesus is the firstborn. He's the pioneer of God's plan. He's the first one to pass from death to life, and the future of the human race is in Jesus. And so it's key for us to hear the gospel, hear the truth about who Jesus is, to accept his diagnosis of our lives, our need to have our sins forgiven, to accept this preaching of repentance that the church brings, and then to repent of our sin, to be baptized into Jesus, to personally surrender to him as Christ and Lord, that is the source of my new life, and that he's now the Lord of my life, that I'm going to follow his leadership. I know now that my whole life, my whole future belongs to him. And my purpose in this life is to live no longer for myself, but for him in every way. And through the gift of the Holy Spirit, who's made me a child of God, I'm beginning to receive and live in now the very promises of God, the personal promises that Jesus makes to each and every one of us. And I'm going to talk about that tomorrow to end the week on this, because it's so important to see the pathway and the joy that's set before us in Christ and the promises he gives to each and every one of us. God bless you, friends. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you Peter Burak's new booklet, The Game Changer, in which he talks to us very clearly about the role of the Holy Spirit in our lives, especially to empower us to engage the mission of the church. That's a calling that's there for all the baptized. If you'd like this free booklet, you could call us at 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789, or go to renewalministries.net/FOE. You can also listen to our past episodes or subscribe to our podcast. God bless you.